That this is an issue that's been raised, and we read an email out from Kevin Moynihan, who got in touch with us on the programme. And let's say Kevin's with me in studio now. Kevin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry.
Listen, thanks for coming in. You've been taking it, obviously, like everybody else, you've been taking a look at what am I being charged for here, what rate am I on, what tariff I am, and what is this standing charge and what's happening to it. It's been going up.
It's been going up in to a ridiculous rate, really. First of all, the regulator regulates, but since 2011 they have no role in actual price regulation, and that includes on sending charges. But what we've seen the last while is, apart from the increases that have come because of increase in energy prices internationally, sending charges have gone up, more than doubled in some cases. And if I just use the example of Electric Ireland in particular, they've gone from €200, if you are in, which a lot of people in Kerry would be, in the considered rural DG2, it's called, under electricity bill, they're has gone up from €200 to €484 a year. And if you put that in context, Jerry, let's say someone who's on the welfare at the moment, who's getting the fuel loans, that actually means that they now require 9 weeks of the fuel loans just to pay the sending charge. That's the extent of it. It is fairly massive increase. That's just for the increase. That's not for the original price at all.
Sure.
If you bring that into it, you're bringing it up to about 14, 15.
An exponential increase. So a standing charge is a fixed amount that's added on top of your tariff rate to cover an energy supplier's fixed costs. This is the cost to pay for supplying your house with power. Now, they're normally applied on a per day basis, and the daily charge will remain the same no matter how much energy you use. So that's, it's going up there, and effectively there's nothing you can do about it. If you leave the lights off all winter, you'll still be paying. So I'm just wondering what the justification is from the companies. They're paying more for the wholesale price. That's being applied to you through the unit charge that you're getting.
Yes.
But why are they putting up their standing costs at the same time?
Well,
their fixed costs, are they increasing, or what's the situation?
Well, I asked that question of the CRU.
You contacted the regulator.
I contacted the regulator and asked them that question. And I'll read exactly what they said to me. The standing charge on the electricity bill is made up of costs which relate to billing and collection and ESB network costs, which are associated with meter reading and cost of operating and maintaining the electricity network. That's it. Now, if you take, just pick that out in a couple of situations, the cost of billing and collection and so on like that, it hasn't varied, may gone up a small bit, nothing major. The cost of meter reading is actually going down because there are now all these smart meters, which are not so smart maybe, but
they're more expensive for what they're charging at the moment than some of the rates. They're cheaper at night, but they're more expensive during the day is what we're learning about them so far.
But they do mean that you don't have to have the person calling to the door. No one has to read to come to your meter and read it. So that cost is gone for ESB networks. And the other cost is the operating and maintaining of the electricity network. Now, if you look at it from a Kerry, and I've taken Kerry and Duhallow in North Cork, and 25% of the wind generation comes from that area. That's with 4% of the population, less than 4% of the population, 25% of the wind generation capacity in this country is coming from this area.
This area.
A significantly higher number of people in this area are paying the rural charge, the rural surcharge, as I call it.
Before we make that point, that rural surcharge, is there any reason given, was the regulator given any reason as to why does it cost more to supply energy to Kerry than it does to Dublin?
Well, it came in, Jerry. It's historic.
It's historic.
It's historic.
So it came in when the network was being rolled out far away from the centre, and they were putting the poles up and putting the lines in and connecting people's houses.
And what happened was that they had to get more to put it into rural areas. But the Black Valley was electrified a long time ago at this stage.
Yeah.
And a lot of the rural areas, and not so rural areas in Kerry, the network was not kept up to date. So in other words, what happened was newer houses, as they were built, additional facilities were put in, and this all came from what the regulator and the ESB networks decided in 2004 was they would actually describe this as something that would be set out if you got your electricity overhead or underground, basically. So if you got it from underground, you paid a lower sending charge.
Yes.
If you paid it for overhead, then you actually paid a higher one. And because there wasn't very little additional money spent on the network in Kerry in rural areas, except for wind farms, which the money was to generate the electricity and to bring it back into the network, money had to be spent on bringing these into place. And also, another thing was that the charge was levied on rural people more so, and they weren't actually given any extra investment because of it.
In the network because of it. And the point you were making there was that you're in an area where it's 4% of the population, 25% of the wind energy and electricity from wind farms, which is helping keep down the cost overall of powering the country. And yet, proportionally, more people are on the DG2, so you're paying more in an area where you're doing more of the heavy lifting by having the inconvenience of wind farms in your area.
Yes, and the other point is that many people, that newer houses are on air-to-water systems.
Yeah.
They have, let's say, a lot of newer houses have electric cars and so on. A lot of rural houses don't necessarily have the heat pumps because they wouldn't be suitable for them. And you need a higher level of electricity connection and voltage and so on like that for these houses. And that is put in into the house initially. There will be a charge on it. But it's like the rural houses are actually subsidising the installation of this.
Of the new houses.
Of the new houses.
To your mind.
And 2004, this was brought in by Electric Ireland, by ESP Network, which is part of the ESP Group.
Yes.
And this was brought in, and the whole lot of it was, it's there since 18 years on, it has never changed. Now, the big thing, though, is that it has changed. Again, I go back to Electric Ireland. They have increased it for someone in that category from €200 to €484 in the last year. Now, there's no justification whatsoever for that.
More than double.
It's more than double.
At the worst time possible.
At the worst time possible. And, like, this is a company that we all are supposed to own. Okay, we'd have no influence on it. The minister has, and it's ridiculous that they
so is that it. Standing charge of tariff? You're talking there about Electric Ireland, the standing charge is supplied by the supplier.
Yes,
which is the, let's say, your SSE Electricity, or your Panda Power, or your Electric Ireland.
Yes.
So they're the ones that apply it, not ESB Networks. Or is it the cost they have to pay to ESB Networks for use of their
This is where there's a small bit of cloudiness about the whole thing. In other words, ESP Networks pass on charges to the
suppliers.
And the suppliers then, according to the regulator, it's up to the supplier to decide whether to recover them or not. But it would be unusual if they didn't recover them. So I suspect the ESP Networks, again, which is part of the ESP Group, which we are all supposed to own, has been actually charging more for this at the moment. It's coming through, and because people weren't noticing this when prices were low, ESP Networks and among others like prepay power charge €700 for a year for the
is there a difference? There's a difference as well. Pay as you go is to help people who to literally do that, to manage their costs, manage it in real time so they don't get caught with big bills. You're paying more for that in terms of your unit price for the convenience of that. But is there a situation with regards to their standing charges that's changing?
Yes, their standing charges are generally higher. And in other words, if you don't put money in the meter, then you won't actually get electricity. So yes, you really are badly caught, and it affects people who are the least able to afford this. But there's an interesting... It goes back to the regulator. The regulator basically has lost control of the situation.
The regulator doesn't regulate standing charges, as you said.
No, it doesn't regulate standing charges. It doesn't regulate
the unit costs.
You wonder what it is doing, actually. You know what I mean? Because their whole raison d'etre seemed to be to actually get competition into this market, yet people are dropping out like flies.
That's
out
right.
Of it, right?
Yeah.
And you've a crazy situation. If you we're often told to go in and look and sign up in these contracts, right, for electricity, and you can sign up, you can get a discount, and it worked reasonably well in some respects, but a lot of people didn't take it up. What's happened in the last while is that you, first of all, you never get told if you're actually coming off that electricity rate. You're not notified.
You have to keep a note of it. You have to know exactly when, and you have to know the 30 days in advance to give them this much notice, or maybe 60 days in advance. Or yeah. Some of them, yeah. The terms and conditions, by and large, always nearly catch you.
Yes, and it's a crazy situation at the moment. It might be coincidence, but all of the prepaid companies have delayed the latest announcement of their increase. So it effectively means that website that the CRU have actually put up at the moment is showing that the cheapest ones are the prepaid power at the moment, which isn't true. It's true in the sense because this website takes account of future increases that they've been notified by. So Electric Ireland have increased by 30-something percent.
Flow gas last Friday, yeah.
Prepaid power and various other ones, Pin Energy and so on, appear to have delayed this increase. I would expect that announcement to come in the next week or so.
Yes.
But it means that if you went onto their website at the moment, when people are most likely to change,
I'll get a great deal here. Yeah, I'll sign into them, but then you could end up paying more when they increase.
You will definitely end up more because their increase will push them right up into the back of the thing. I checked the figures the other day, and for someone in a regular house, they would be expected to be just under 2,000 at the cheapest rate, and the dearest one was 3,200. So that gives you an example of how much the regulation is needed in this market. It's a complete farce the way the system is working at the moment.
Okay, and you're talking as well then about this contract being a one-sided contract. Do we need to look at, you think, the whole way it's organised, the fact that you're signing into a contract for a fixed period, let's say 12 months, and they can put their prices up at any stage during the contract, give you the notice of it, and you're stuck with it. You can't leave, you can't go, you can switch in between, but you can pay costs for that switching as well.
They penalise you they penalise in two ways. They charge you €50 penalty, but they also take back any incentives that you got initially to do it. So in other words, you could get a double whammy on it. The system is not working. It's clear that it's not working. The regulator has failed.
Do you think this is a good idea or a good opportunity now? And across Europe, internationally, they're looking at the way, and I've heard several different high-profile national politicians, new politicians, saying we need to look at how we supply our markets, how we pay for our electricity, how it's charged. That all, it seems this crisis brought about a good close look that it all needs to change, and maybe change it a little bit more in favour of the consumer rather than the supplier.
Yes, and also simplify it for people at the moment, the whole thing. Like, it's archaic to be thinking that because you've a night meter, that you're charged extra for having a night meter to save, which you're actually using power at a time than at night.
When it's cheaper to supply it.
And when it's easier to supply and so on like that. It's archaic. The whole system is actually has been shown up to be inefficient and totally unworkable at the moment. And it needs, unfortunately, the minister seems to be digging their heels in. They don't seem to be interested in actually doing anything about it. But there's no point. People are going to suffer this winter because of this energy problem that's there. And we need action, really. We need a proper review of this, a quick review, a couple of simple things would happen. One, we're living in a republic. Therefore, everyone should be entitled to the electricity at a set charge for everyone is supposed to be treated equal. So get rid of all these additional charges that are there for people. Whether you're living in a rural area or whether you're living in an urban area,
one charge, you're getting the same power. It's coming via the same route, by and large.
Or else, the minister, when he's announcing his package tomorrow about heating, about fuel allowance for people on social welfare, he should give a higher fuel allowance to people in
DG2 areas.
Yeah, exactly. So in other words, he's not going to do that.
He's going to apply it across the board there.
Exactly.
But they're going to allow a situation where if it's unevenly charged,
yes,
for a reason, you'd have to wonder why it's there still. Is it historic or just left there?
I think it is terrible that Electric Ireland, ESB, who are a semi-state body, they're making 400 million in the first 6 months. What's the point in the ESB making 400 million of profit and then they're saying, oh, we'll pay it back to people. We'll pay it back.
And
we'll
just leave it in people's pockets in the first place.
Just simplify the thing. Make it easier for people. People are struggling there and yeah. This needs to be done and it needs to be done fast. And the simplest thing is simplify it. Yes, get people to encourage them to use the power at the right times. By you change your pricing for different times or whatever. But you heard it last week when you were doing your program.
The smart meters. Yeah, it seems to me to be set up completely wrong at the first place. It's more expensive during, cheaper at night, but more expensive during the day when most people use and will continue to use their power. As an incentive to sign up to it, it's not working at the moment.
They'll turn the smart meters into a no-go situation if they don't do something.
Yeah.
Smart meters are a good idea, but they need to be handled properly. And I'm not sure the CRU at the moment are equipped to actually deal with them properly. I think the CRU needs to be completely revamped. There needs to be completely sea change in the way they operate. And I think someone in government needs to get hold. Is. You know, they are the ones. We're dependent on them. We can't do it.
Okay, Kevin, listen, it's interesting. Thanks a million for crunching the numbers for us and contacting us about that, your views on it and how you see the prices and where they're going. That's Kevin Moynihan there with me from Killarney getting in touch.